As we move into the final weeks of the school term, this is the time of year when many of us start thinking about recruiting and onboarding. The first step is usually confirming and locking in which of our current students are continuing for the next school term so that we then know how many spots we have to fill. Today we'll consider 7 ways you can connect with and tap into your local community to promote awareness of your studio and hopefully, in turn, quickly fill empty spots either now or in the future. Whether you're an established teacher without a waiting list, a new teacher just getting started, or an established teacher who would simply like to make more connections in the community, this episode is for you. If you're new around here, I'm Amy Chaplin, and you're listening to episode 119 of the Piano Pantry podcast, Tap and Grow, Free Community-Based Marketing. This podcast is brought to you by friends of the podcast over on Patreon. If you enjoy and benefit from this podcast, please consider joining today for as little as $4 a month. When I opened my studio in 2011, I did everything possible to get my name out there. While my husband and I were somewhat established in the community, we had lived there from 2004 to 2006 when I had my first teaching job at a local middle school and high school, life had taken us elsewhere for a few years. Having a good base of old friends from church and acquaintances established from my choir job certainly was a great way to kickstart the business, but I knew it would take some work to onboard a full studio quickly. Today, I'm going to share with you all the ways I tapped into my community to grow my business quickly. My hope is that even if your community doesn't have the exact same opportunities, this episode will spark ideas for avenues that you may have never considered. The biggest piece of advice is you have to be proactive. You cannot just sit back and let Google and your current clients do the work. While word of mouth was ultimately the most effective, a statement that I make confidently as I tracked and analyzed the data from all my inquiries in the first few years, you have to get people in the door to start reaping the benefits of word of mouth. In fact, the informal field research I conducted through my own experiences was the topic of my very first national session, The Wild West of Marketing, How Do You Know What Really Works?, which I presented at the 2016 MTNA conference in San Antonio. Building a business requires effort from various sources. Yes, word of mouth is still highly effective, but small little bits and efforts here and there will also add up and eventually become the word of mouth funnels outside of current students. The first of the 7 I want to share with you today is to talk to your local chamber of commerce. If you're starting a new business, connect with your chamber and see if they conduct ribbon cutting ceremonies. These are usually published throughout the community and are a great way to kick things off. Chamber of Commerce members are there because they're passionate about helping local businesses thrive, so connect with those people. Next up is your local community arts center. This might be a place that offers dance lessons, music lessons, community theater, and so forth. If they offer lessons in the same instrument as you do, don't feel like you have to hide or present yourself as a competitor. Just go and introduce yourself to the director and say you have an independent music studio in the community and you just want to get to know each other and see who else in the area does art-based work. You might even inquire as to if they have advertising opportunities in dance recitals or theater programs. I did this several times in the early days. I mean, have you ever been to a dance recital? There are a lot of people with school-aged children that attend those dance recitals. The third group to consider is any kind of community programming. Our city has a Parks and Recreation Department that provides all kinds of great opportunities throughout the year, especially in the summer. I partnered with them for 2 or 3 summers to provide free one-off classes for the community. I did 4 different classes. I held a 40-minute taught music time for 3 to 4-year-olds, a 50-minute piano play and discovery time for 5 to 6 year olds, and a 50-minute meet the piano time for 7 to 8 year olds and 9 to 10 year olds. I was able to do these, especially because I had 4 digital keyboards, but you could still get creative with just 1 piano. If you teach from your home, I can see how you may not want to bring people in for a one-off class. Perhaps you could consider teaching a music and movement class that has nothing to do with piano, using things from like Dalcroze. The fourth place you might consider connecting with is a council on aging. In my early days, when I was trying to get recreational music making classes for adults going, I reached out to our County Council on Aging and set up a booth at an exhibition that they held for adults in the community. The fifth group to connect with is your school music teachers. I find it shocking how many teachers never take the time to seek out and introduce themselves to the local school music teachers. Do it! All of them! Elementary music, band and choir teachers, and maybe even theater teachers. These are the people that customers go to when they're looking for lessons. I know some of you might be uncomfortable making cold connections like this, so if you're interested, there is a post on the Piano Pantry blog called School Music Teachers, a Marketing Gem, that includes some verbiage that you can use to get you started. Along those same lines, don't be afraid to connect with teachers of the same and other instruments in your area. This is something I talked about in episode number 13 called How to Make Music Teacher Friends. Maybe you could seek permission from and put together a list of everyone who gives private lessons in the community. You could offer the list to all the school music teachers so that they can refer to it when someone asks if they know a teacher. My local piano teacher community and I all share a Google Doc, and everybody has editing access to it. It has our contact information, instruments that we teach, levels that we prefer, and so forth. It's been super handy to give out when I'm not taking students. My sixth idea is in reaction to questions I received from at least 2 teachers in the past weeks. How did you get homeschooled students? Mostly for me, it ended up being a coincidence. In my early days, I did reach out to a local homeschool association and place an ad in their newsletter a couple of times, but nothing directly came of it. Even though that connection didn't result in new students for me, I would still recommend making the effort to connect with any local homeschool group and see what options might be available. Once again, it still cycles back to word of mouth. Once you get one homeschooler, the connections will start opening up. The last item to offer today is not a group or an organization per se, but is more of an activity, and that is parades. Our city has a long history of a street fair held in September. Traffic is diverted and city streets are full of typical fair things like rides, food, and games. This was an interesting change of pace for my husband and I, as I came from a community that has a high-quality fairgrounds that hosts the 4-H fair at the same time as all the games and rides summer fair. Here, the 4-H fair is separate from the street fair, so every community is different. They do 2 or 3 different parades at street fair over the course of several days. I think Wednesday night is the opening parade, which hosts all the fun floats. Thursday evening is the industrial parade, and Friday is the marching band parade. For at least 5 years, I participated in the Thursday night industrial parade, where businesses walk and toss candy. People drive anything from cars to tractors and wagons to ATVs, and some just walk. It was a fun time not only for getting my face out in the community, but also just to bring the kids together. Elementary students especially love opportunities to be part of something like this. If you want to see some photos of our getups, there is a post on the Piano Pantry blog that I have linked in the show notes. Speaking of the show notes, everything you heard about today can be found at pianopantry.com/podcast/episode119. There are 4 related blog posts and 1 other podcast episode that talk about a lot of the things that I'm sharing here today. I hope these 7 ideas have sparked some brainstorming as you look forward to growing your studio and making a name for your business in the community. Even if you're not looking to grow your studio, I think it's important for us to make efforts to connect with our communities and others who are in the same line of work as we are. Let's focus on knowing and supporting each other, and in turn, advocating for the arts and our profession. If you enjoyed this episode, you might be interested in tomorrow's quarterly special session I'm presenting for my Patreon insider community called Evolutionary Entrepreneurialism, Grow Your Studio One Yes at a Time. This session will help you cultivate a business mindset to grow a thriving and sustainable studio. You'll learn how to tap into your community, diversify by saying yes to the unexpected, and perhaps more importantly, foster effective cultural change with current clients. If you would like to get in on this session, be sure and join at the $7 level at pianopantry.com/Patreon. Thanks for being here, everyone. Other easy ways to support this podcast include hitting that subscribe button so new episodes download automatically, sharing your favorite episodes on social media, and leaving a rating and review. I don't know about you, but boy, am I looking forward to summer. I had my recital the last Sunday of April this year instead of the third Sunday of May, and I told my husband I'm so excited to see how much mental space is going to free for me in May. It's my hope that having May be a letdown rather than a ramp up to the recital will make it feel like I get a head start on summer so it doesn't disappear so quickly. If you would like to get little snippets of bonus insights from me, be sure to subscribe via email at pianopantry.com/subscribe. Have a great week.